All right, let's see. Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the number one podcast with Brian Regan and Christmas, which is the nicest season. I'm Phil, and with me is... You go, Drake.
Oh, I'm Drake.
And then beside him is... And then... Yeah, through the space cadet, we got Adrian on Zoom. That voice sounded crazy. But then through Zoom meetings, we got... Oh, my bad. Discord. Oh, through Discord, we got Paul. And if you can't tell, we all have a lot of good chemistry. So this podcast is going to just flow so easily. As you can tell with that intro. Hit the music, DJ.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Okay, so can you hear Paul now, Adrian?
Yep, I'm all good.
Cool. No echo. We did it. You know what? Keep that whole past 15 minutes in for the fans. A little behind the scene baseball. Inside baseball. Behind the baseball. It's behind the baseball. You just get hit.
You gotta lean in.
A little inside the scenes. It's in pants. Pants seams. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like I'm carrying this podcast right now with these baseballs. No, okay, so the theme today is clean. No, wait, before we get into the theme, we all have to chop it up. Paul, you said you've been feeling sick?
Give me one second. I'm going to relaunch Chrome. I need to do something. I'll be back.
This has been half an hour. I'm glad we started recording when we started recording.
Don't we need to do the intro again so it's not echoey?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will do that again. I'll try to think of a different one. Welcome back to Big Facts No Cap, the number one podcast with Brian Regan and Christmas, which is one of the nicest seasons. I'm Phil, and with us today as well is another guest who is only speak when you're spoken to. Thank you. Then we have one of the co-hosts on the couch as well, and he can say his name whenever he feels like.
Adrian, what up?
And then on Discord, we got the other co-host who is...
I would say just host. We got Paul on the line.
Damn. So Paul's the host. Adrian's just the co-host. That's crazy.
That's how I think about it.
Let's talk about it. Let's get to big fact and let's get to no capping. And the music plays. All right, let's get right into it. Paul, do you really see yourself as the host and Adrian as the co-host?
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of like the one who structures the podcast, you know, like leads us from one segment to the other, keeps Adrian on topic.
Okay. Adrian, do you have a rebuttal for that?
A rebuttal? Wait, is that how you manage relationships? Is your rebuttal game being crazy?
Debate. I guess we could, Adrian, maybe you could talk about your time back here in Colombia, how it's been.
It's crazy. Colombia, man, the more it changes, the more it stays
the
same.
You guys are crazy in Colombia.
You guys are crazy in Colombia, dude.
The thing I love about Colombia is the older I get, never mind.
No, go ahead, finish, dude.
No, go ahead, finish.
What?
No, I mean, it's been fun. We went to go watch wrestling last night. That was dope.
Oh, nice.
Got to see John Cena's last match.
Who won?
John Cena
the other
lost.
Person won. Yeah. John Cena tapped out.
Wait, is that how they're writing about of the story? Is that he just he got beat so hard he had to quit?
Yeah, and somebody at Arbor was like, I think they made him lose on purpose because they're kind of pissed at him quitting and just doing movies and stuff. And he said they did the same thing with The Rock. And I'm like, that's crazy. Just let him win.
I like the idea of like you're scripted to lose, but you're just so petty as a wrestler that you keep ad-libbing that you're gonna win that fight. And the other guy's like, dude, why are you not going down?
That would be pretty funny.
It was. I think the highlight of the night was seeing a guy from Colombia wrestle. The guy who came out as the heel. It is wrestling is such baby shit.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So he was like, well, it's good to be in Charlotte. And everyone's like, no, that's North Carolina. Shut up.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, Columbus. I'm like, no, Columbia. Like, kids are getting so pissed at this guy. And the guy is dressed up like a king. And he's like, I will still turn this down into gold. And then at one point in the match, it wasn't that match. It was a different match where a guy was a heel And in the very first few seconds of the match, he got thrown out the ring, and then somebody called him like a kid called him a crybaby. So the heel got one of the microphones and said, "Who called me a crybaby?" He's like, and he looked at the kid, he's like, "Oh, you're shaking your head. It probably was your coward father who's too afraid to step up." And everybody was like, "No, shut up. Father's not a coward." But he got on the mic like two or three times, and he was just like yelling at the crowd. I'm like, I don't know you could just do that in wrestling. I didn't realize they did that much. Yeah, Trick Williams is the guy from Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah, Trick.
I like that. It's like stand-up. You get like a local opener.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm sure he was just like... So Shelton Benjamin is probably the most popular WWE wrestler. He was from Orangeburg, South Carolina. And he wasn't a part of the WWE like recently. But when WWE came to Colonial Life Arena, I think he probably just signed like a one-day contract so he could wrestle. And when he came out, everybody went crazy because it's like our claim to fame with WWE.
But does he have a cool catchphrase like "flip that trick" or "run that trick"? What was it?
I don't know. I thought they were saying "fuck that trick."
No, I think it was "flip that trick."
It's a WWE. There's no way that's his catchphrase.
It was the C word, the C word, the C word three times in a row.
It was Djibouti, Djibouti.
And he's like, why am I the not C on TV word. With this?
We're not live on radio. You can curse.
I don't like saying
no,
that.
No, we're being clean today.
Clean comedy. Okay.
Clean comedy.
Clean comedy. Oh, wait. Any other wrap up you want to do about Columbia?
Finley Park's really cool now. Well, I guess not for the unhoused people that were living there. Man, I don't know. I've had a lot of good food, a lot of fun times. It's been great.
I bet we do a roundup of... Drake hasn't been on the pod in a while.
Yeah. What's up, Drake?
Hello.
What you been up to?
Nothing. Just waiting to be on the pod again.
Drake hasn't left my couch since the last time. And he hasn't took off the sunglasses.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I do want to round up one more thing from the week. Cat Daddy Cat Cafe in Columbia, South Carolina. The goddamn goat. That was the best day I've ever
had. Shout out to the Cat Cafe. There was a really fat cat there that kind of made our day. It was just a fat cat.
Yeah, what was his name?
His name, and I'm going to spell it first before I say it. It's T-I-G-G-E-R. Oh, so the name is... You know, I don't even want to say it because I feel like in post, y'all going to do some tricky shit.
No. The editing machine is broken. We can't do it.
But anyway, we're not going to edit anything. But before you say the name of the cat, can you say a word that starts with N?
Yeah.
Just like maybe nightlife or neighbor or just anything.
Of course. You know what? I'll just say his name and I'll say some words before the name. He was a stank ass cat. He was a fat cat.
Fat cat. We paid for an hour. We spent roughly 30 minutes making fat jokes about this cat.
Right when we got in, the cat asked, like, are y'all Postmates? Are y'all Uber Eats? I don't want to talk to y'all about Uber Eats. Legally, I don't want to say anything if you're an Uber Eats.
You have to tell me legally if you're an Uber Eats guy.
And speaking of fat cats, the Fat Cat Biscuit Place closed in Columbia. Yeah. So we went to the Soda City Market yesterday because they have a stand there. And we got there a little too late and they sold out. But it was nice talking to the guy, catching up with him. And I thought he was going to have another project open in Columbia. And he was like, nah, this just isn't paying the bills. So he's working at Golden. He's going to be going to Golden Spur. I probably shouldn't give out all of his business like this on a podcast. It looks like his little biscuit place didn't pay the bills. So he has to go work in a restaurant. No, shout out Todd. Todd's the man.
Yeah, I think Phil was recognized by 5 people this time around in Columbia. A little local celebrity.
All children. Ooh. They're like, we look up to you, man.
Local children, yeah.
Oh, I do want to... I think this would be a funny thing to bring up for the podcast. It's something Adrian's been saying a lot since he's been in town. A lot... He keeps on saying "you guys" down here, and I have to keep on telling him you are from here, Adrian. Like he will be right down the street, be like, "Man, you guys love your vape shops, huh?" And I'm like, "They were here when you were here." But like, I wasn't even the one who noticed that. It was like it was years ago. Apparently, we went to Publico, and the server came by. It was like the brunch at Publico. I think it was like us three, Mandy, and Casey.
I think it was for your birthday.
And then, Casey. Yeah, it was her birthday. And the server dropped off like way too many straws at our table for like 5 of us. Maybe it was like 10 straws. And Adrian was like, man, you guys love your straws down here. And we all kind of laughed. And then like on the way home, Manny was like, why is it you guys? He's from here. He's trying to make fun of our straw distribution.
I bet you out in California, he's doing the same thing. He's like, oh, this isn't like South Carolina. You guys have too much,
save the turtles.
I don't know, feminism out here, whatever he complains about.
Hmm.
Adrian meets a woman with her who has her maiden name as her last name after getting married. And he's like, you guys have too much freedom out here.
Oh, you know what? I actually was one of the comments I made about Columbia is that they're super libbed up, especially out in Five Points. A lot of white woman feminism everywhere. A lot of please vote stickers and stuff like that. It's a libbed up town over here.
We changed, man. We're now the cool. We're like the Portland of the South is what we're called.
Oh yeah.
Fred Armisen comes here like season five here. Season five. I'm Fred Armisen, folks. Yeah, we're the new Portland.
Oh, we did get coffee out of a bus today from a guy from Miami, and I like that he literally his story was I came up here to do a wedding, liked it, and I stayed. Bus actually does move, so I can just go wherever. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. Columbia rocks, babe.
I like it when people convert buses into like a business or like a little tiny home. And he did it very well with the bus. It looked really cool.
Yeah, I need more $25 cocktails out of Airstreams. Let's keep that going.
Actually, the coffee wasn't that expensive, but yeah, I see what you mean. They probably...
Well, no, he did that thing, my favorite joke from that one Kumail movie where he made too much coffee. So as we were leaving, he was like, hey, did you already sip some of your drink? I got more. You want more? I was like, okay, yeah, sure. He just topped me off.
Ooh. And then he gave you more coffee.
Come on now. We're having a good time.
Okay, now we're ready to record. Let's record now.
Now we can get into the theme.
All right, let me start up Audacity.
He sucked me off, and then he gave me a cappuccino.
Why was the first part of that like a Christopher Walken impression? He sucked me off.
Hey. He sucked me off. Give me a cappuccino. Yeah, that was cool of him to do that, though. And I was like, do you have any more honey latte left? And he was like, nah, but I'll suck you off.
You gave me crazy top like a Beyblade.
Yeah, we got in the car and we drove away. And then he chased us down and said, hey, I got more. I got more left.
We got more.
You like Roadhead? Then I'll give you a cappuccino. That's his only deal. He'll give you more if he can suck you off. That's how they do it in Miami, baby. That is a cool thing. Like, it's a very hipster thing to get like a bus and renovate it. So the fact that he's from Miami and he did it, that, I don't know.
You know, weirdly enough, Miami, but not Cuban. I think he was Mexican. He had a very Mexican inspired menu. I got a Nutty Delight.
You got the sombrero Nacho Libre. And it was a glass of water.
What were you saying, Paul?
It was not actually called the Nutty Delight, right?
It was the Nutty Delight, yeah. I don't like
got
how
topped off with a Nutty Delight.
I told Phil that's what I got, and he was like, you would get that. And I was like, it sounded good. I wasn't being gross.
I said, you guys love the Nutty Delight.
You guys love getting Nutty Delight down here.
You love it.
You love it.
Yeah, but the guy's like, can I top you off with some Nutty Delights? And I was like, hey, yo, Adrian, this your man's right here. It's Paul. I don't know how they do it in Miami.
That's fucked up. They shouldn't be allowed to name coffees like that. That's like when you see the blowjob shot on a menu and you're like, fuck you.
He's like, do you want to get in my bang bus and get topped off by a Nutty Delight? And we're like, hey, yo.
So to put closure on the Mexican thing, it's a latte made with that peanut candy that Mexicans like. Yeah, don't all rush to say something once.
We're not homophobic.
Talk about cum.
Say something kind of gay so we can make a joke about it. Oh, yeah. And I guess to wrap up DC, I don't know if you already talked.
We've wrapped up so many times so far.
But Adrian didn't wrap it up. What's up? Shout out, Paul, for letting my band partner Patrick and I stay at his place. At DC last week. I don't know if y'all talked about that on the previous episode or not, but we really appreciate it. Really fun. Fun time in DC. Paul took us some really cool spots. I like the Royal a lot in DC. Was it called The Royal?
Hey, you didn't take me there.
Yeah, I did, Adrian. That's where we got the big platter of Latin food.
That's where you got, oh, that place
where
was
you
great.
Got topped off in the coffee shop. No, it was really nice. The I'm getting into tea now. They had really good house tea. So shout out to the house tea at the Royal. And they had a really good, I think it was like a Danish or something. I don't know. Izzy got the other one, but it was like a raspberry and like a blueberry Danish, I think.
Oh, that sounds good.
That was good.
Yeah, I did take Phil for breakfast, Adrian. You didn't get that. We got the big dinner.
Ball brothers had to stick together, all right? We need our breakfast or else we'll get cranky. Mm-hmm. And then we went to the museum where there was one exhibit where you could take a picture of yourself and then they'll turn you into a Neanderthal. And I did it and it didn't look different at all. And it was like, you ugly.
It was crazy that they built that into the software.
Yes. I did it with every person.
Wait, were you the one telling me that you got Neanderthal results back in your DNA test?
Yeah, I have more Neanderthal than like 99% of people. And I think, I don't know what that says about me. I think,
what does that mean?
I think it means I'm really good at making fires. And I have a big forehead. I think it's the forehead thing.
Right? I think it's the forehead, yeah.
So that I was bald and like, oh, you probably like a caveman looking ass motherfucker.
You were there before they invented hair.
When we were at the Natural History Museum, there was a little kid there who had the exact same comment about the Hope Diamond that I feel like I have, which is, he was like, that's not that big. And I'm like, yeah, that is what I always think when I see it. That's true.
That's a good observation, yeah. Oh, yeah, and also last night after we all watched John Cena lose, because, yeah, we watched John Cena's last match on the big screen after the main event. They were like, because they were very appreciative of everybody coming out when it was John Cena's last match, because everybody was just staying home watching that pay-per-view. So it was like probably half full, the township was. They had a lot of open seats, and then they just played it on the big screen for us. So we all watched him like pretty much tap out at the end, and the crowd didn't really make a lot of noise. They seemed kind of bummed out. And then I didn't tell you this, Adrian, but on my way out, I saw a kid crying.
No, you told me that.
I did.
Yeah,
I saw a kid crying. That kind of bummed me out.
Dude, that is fucked up on the WWE. Goddamn. That's how petty they are. They're going to let him lose his last match and make people so sad. Yeah. Just
well, didn't
like,
the announcer say something? Like, he had never tapped out before? Like,
he hasn't tapped out in 20 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is clearly, like, he's probably, they're going to bring him back on contract to win, like, another fight. Like, the whole resigning thing. This must not actually be his last match. It must be part of the narrative.
He did Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. He's a movie star. Now.
He's a good movie star. I like his movies a lot.
I met Amy Schumer. I'm never gonna fail.
Are wrestling retirements like hip hop retirements where it's like, yeah, that shit's fake? That's
no,
what it sounds
no.
Like.
I know what you mean though, Paul. Because I never believe a rapper when they say they retire. I never believe.
Of course not.
But I think John Cena's is genuine because John Cena said years ago, he's like, yeah, my retirement's coming up. I'm getting old and I'm hurting right now. Like he's like in pain about it. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes complete sense. And I think even
still,
as a kid,
I feel like if he was planning the retirement, he would still lie about what month it was so he could do a narrative about like losing his last match to disappoint people and then come back. Like you know what I mean?
All right, y'all want to get into the theme? I know it's the fifth time I asked, but I think this time I mean it.
Yeah, what? Yeah, Drake's got a media roundup.
Oh, media roundup. Yeah, my bad.
Come to me last.
Okay.
Okay.
Them boys come in last.
All right, let's do our media roundup.
All right. Phil. I'll start and I'll start with movies. Let's see. The most recent.
With Regan.
We tried to watch Megan 2, didn't finish it, right? Did we finish it? No, we did.
I think we technically did in the middle of the day.
Oh, you saw Brian Jordan Alvarez and you went, I can't support this.
I can't.
Not
support.
After what he did.
It was fun. It was very different than the first one. The first one's definitely more like has some good jump scares in it and stuff. This one's more action.
Well, yeah, they wanted it to be an action movie, which is stupid.
So that was interesting. And then I watched, I mean, since the last time I did the pod, I've watched a lot of movies. I love movies, but I got into some Kevin James action flicks. Shout out to Kevin James and him trying to do action flicks. He has a pretty good one called Playdate right now on Amazon Prime. It's fun for the whole family. I think y'all both will like it a lot. As far as music goes, I think YFN Lucci and Clips are tied for me for best rap album of the year, but I think Kendrick's going to win that.
YFN Lucci Grammy nominated, or is that more of just a year?
Actually, it might be Grammy nominated. No, it's not Grammy nominated. I think it came out too late. It came out like a month ago or so.
That's the issue. Yeah, that's the issue. Okay,
it came out
a little
too late. Adrian hears a funny rap name and he's like, "Well, clearly they're not talented in any way." So if it's not MC Lyte or Eminem, I'm not taking it.
Tech Knight.
And then I went back and I listened to Chitty Bang's album, some of their albums actually, and it's a fun vibe to it. It's a very fun vibe.
I listened to a lot of Chitty Bang in like freshman year of college.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I was really into pop rap.
I liked it. Yeah.
I liked Hody Allen.
Yeah, I liked Hody Allen too.
This is for my Instagram.
Cake. But yeah, just, you know, same old, man. Just action flicks and rap albums. That's all I've been listening to and watching recently. That's pretty much my media roundup.
Cool. What you got, Paul?
Nothing.
Nice. I have a future media roundup. I think the only place that I really wanted to go to when I was in Colombia was Biddy and Bo's. So I think we're going to do that tomorrow. Is that
they closed.
What?
Biddy and Bo's closed, I think, yesterday. Or
wait, did they actually just close yesterday?
Yeah, it closed. I think sometime this weekend it closed. I saw
R.I.P. Rambo, R.I.P. Biddy and Bo's. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, somebody posted about it on Facebook, and they were like, yeah, obviously this business model doesn't work. And I'm like, ooh, what are you talking about?
I can make jokes about it. It's
crazy when somewhere doesn't have like enough runway to close up the month, you know, where they're just like surprise closure one day, and it's like, I don't know, didn't you already pay rent for this month? Couldn't you announce that you're going to close? It's always so wild.
There could be a thing where they are behind, because like New Brooklyn was going to close New Brooklyn was going to close the 1st of December if they didn't get the GoFundMe money, but of course they did.
Don't give them any more money.
New Brooklyn is like an edgy high schooler who's always threatening to kill themselves.
That's such a good analogy. Unless y'all give me $250,000.
Actually, that's how they write too. They're like, we need this much money for 5 months of rent. We got more that are unpaid, but we'll do with the 5 months. Yeah. It's like, fuck off, dude. Stop taking people's money.
Adrian never got a t-shirt from them.
I got two shirts, and I never got either
of them. Wow, damn.
Did I put an Acacia Strain shirt on my Elfster? No, I think I put a Knocked Loose shirt on there. Yeah, I was supposed to get an Acacia Strain shirt and a Bucky's parody
Send
shirt.
Send your Elfster to New Brooklyn Tavern.
I'm going to. Where's Carlin? I'm going to go see Carlin. Yeah, I got nothing. Drake, what you got?
Me and Casey watched Wake Up Dead Man last night.
Oh, what'd you think? Best one of the three?
I need to watch it again because I really liked the first one, but it's obviously better than Glass Onion.
Yeah.
I was trying to peg what season it was, if Glass Onion is summer and Knives Out was
autumn. Yeah. That one's a winter one.
Yeah, that's what I was telling her, but I was like, it's also not like overtly winter, so.
Yeah.
But I did like it. It had more horror elements. All the performances besides Mila Kunis were good.
You didn't like Mila Kunis?
I didn't like Mila Kunis in it. I like her generally.
Yeah.
Bet you do.
Stream Patience Moonbeam by Great Grandpa. Album of the year. I've been trying to listen. Album of the year. Read One Piece. It's good. It's getting good.
It's finally getting good. It's cooking now. All right.
Now we get into the theme.
The theme: clean comedy and Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I brought in an article about Fortnite.
Okay. So I guess let's talk about Fortnite first. Our favorite. No, you know what? Let's talk about the Christmas tree song. So the Christmas music. So Adrian, I recently showed Adrian the Christmas shoe song.
Well, you showed me like a year ago. You sent it to me before, so I knew about it, but I forgot about it, which is the best thing for something like that, is you want to be reminded of it.
Have you heard about the Christmas shoe song like that?
No.
It's like this song where a kid is trying to buy shoes for his sick mom for Christmas.
Before she meets Jesus. He wants her to look good.
And he can't really afford the shoes, so the whole song is like from the point of view of the kid.
Why are you laughing?
She wants to make it, he wants to it's a sweet song, man. He wants to make her look hot, I guess, for Jesus. He wants to make sure his mom has some really good shoes for when she dies, and he can't afford the shoes. Why are you laughing? This is sad, man. It's real. She didn't have shoes when she was sick, man.
And so there's a guy on TikTok who sings it a cappella while buying shoes.
because the whole song's from the point of view of the boy. So the song goes like, can I buy these shoes for my mama, please?
Wait, I feel like I've heard that. Damn, that was good, actually.
It was a good song. Yo, no,
that was a good impression.
Oh, my performance?
Yeah.
Sir, I want to buy the. And he's wearing sunglasses and a hood, too. And he's recording a podcast. And he's like, sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama, please.
He doesn't have enough money, though.
When mama meets Jesus. Tonight. Louis Armstrong hops home.
Yeah, yeah. Louis on the beat.
Now do We Are Charlie Kirk.
So I was doing a quick search on Wikipedia because I wanted to see if the Rob Lowe movie, The Christmas Shoes, followed the plot of that song. And no, but it does seem like as dark. It is also about, like, I don't know. I didn't read the entire plot, but it doesn't seem like a one-to-one plot summary.
Well,
from
now
the
that
song.
We're done talking about Christmas shoes, let's talk about Stretchy Pants.
Yeah. Did you listen to Stretchy Pants?
Stretchy Pants. I didn't listen to Stretchy Pants.
You gotta listen to Stretchy I'm Pants. Go up. To Target, it'll be on.
Who is it, Carrie Underwood?
I'm not going to Target.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, what's the thing about Stretchy Pants that gets me and why I think it's a good song is because it feels like a Phineas and Ferb song. Like, it's like something about it.
No, I think
it.
You were right. I think the 30 Rock comparison was perfect.
Or like, yeah, like it almost feels like a song Jenna would make from 30 Rock.
It's like the Muffin Top
Yeah, it's basically Buff and Top, and it's like lyrical quality. It feels like a joke, but then it's Carrie Underwood for some reason, and they play it in stores sometimes. Like, you'll hear it.
Huh. Is it like kind of like a newer Christmas song?
I think in maybe like the last 5 years, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, 2021. Oh, also in one part, she talks about getting a delivery from Amazon, so it's like, I assume they paid for the entire song? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not mad at her getting her bag. Drake, what's your favorite Christmas song?
Just looking that up.
But it is also more of a Thanksgiving song. It's about her needing to put her stretchy pants on because she's eaten so much food. It doesn't say it's Thanksgiving food, but it kind of feels Thanksgiving-y.
Hmm. I'm looking up stretchy pants right now. Okay, stretchy pants by Carrie Underwood. Time to celebrate the season, haven't eaten all day. My tummy is growling because I've been saving up space. I've got my place at my table, can't fit no more on my plate. I've got a fork in my hand ready to stuff my face. And then the pre-chorus is, so bring on the turkey, potatoes, casserole dishes, because I ain't messing around with them buttoned up britches. You got them skinny jeans on, girl? I feel sorry for you, because I just tried everything and I'm going back for round two. This is a fun song. I like this.
I got my stretchy pants
on.
Stretchy. You guys big Mariah Carey fans?
I like her Fortnite skin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Alright, let's get into Fortnite.
The boys are back talking about Fort.
Alright, what skin is everybody rocking? I got the Krusty from Drake. That was an early Christmas present.
Nice. I'm still rocking Ice Spice. I every now and then I'll do Godzilla or John Wick, but Ice Spice is, she's beautiful, man.
Yeah, Godzilla is like a good fallback, but I think I've got to stick with Hank Hill as usually my number one.
Hank Hill is such a good one.
I think my main is Bruno Mars. I've been rocking the pug and the Fortnite Balenciaga hoodie lately.
That's cool. Mm. Bruno Mars is ripped.
How many V-Bucks did you splash on that?
Anyway.
And the thing about Fortnite is that we're all really good. We're not getting our ass kicked by children constantly when
That's
we play.
True. There's definitely not a fifth friend of ours that plays with us as much better than us. Shout out, Coleman. Did I ever tell y'all that story of when Mandy was like babysitting her nephews and they're like seven or something like that, and they were playing Fortnite and one of them had like a skin of like some pop star, maybe like Ariana Grande, and Mandy was trying to talk to them and be like, hey, so why are you a girl skin? Or why is that? Like she was trying to maybe dig something deeper into that.
Do you think they were trans?
I mean, I don't know what she was really asking, or maybe, you know, maybe they were gay or something. And then the kids were just like, we think they're hot. That's so funny. The hot girls, and we're playing as the boobies and the butts move a little bit while we won. Hot girls. Next question.
Sir, can I buy this skin? For my mama. Wait, I didn't see that connection. That's why you do Ice Spice to impress her 7-year-old cousins? What's the connection?
No, I get Ice Spice because I think she's a very attractive lady. She's a
beautiful
person.
Okay, Phil sent a picture in our group chat.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't come to that conclusion yourself. You had the 7-year-olds convinced you that was a good idea.
No, I had nothing to do with these 7-year-olds. I'm saying that
what are you doing with these local children?
Mandy was babysitting them, and then, like, so I was saying, like, that's also why I get, like,
oh, you just thought it was an astute observation, and you were like, okay, they worded it better than I ever
could. Yeah, they did. They're just, like, they're at least honest about it. I still like Ice Spice's music, and I think her dances are very cool and funny.
Do you guys remember when you started thinking women were hot? I definitely did not when I was 7. I was not clocking that.
Me, right out the womb.
You know what's interesting?
I was like, put me back in.
I think the first person I remember thinking was attractive was like a dental hygienist that I had when I was young, and I just remember being like, I like this lady that's touching my teeth. She's pretty. Apparently, I was very obvious about it because my brother made fun of me about it later.
When you started tonguing her finger, I think it became obvious to everybody.
Adrian was like, thank you. Thank you for letting me do this. Who was your first crush, Paul? First girl crush.
Oh, different questions. Oh. No, I wish I was one of those people who had like a really funny story like, oh, it was Lola Bunny, but I can't really remember. I didn't have like any big ones.
Mine was the Easter Bunny. Still a bunny. I thought I had a fat old egg sack.
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe like Rouge the Bat.
Oh, from Anastasia?
No, from Sonic Adventure 2.
Oh, okay.
She's Rouge hot. The Bat. Nice.
Yeah, look up a picture of Rouge.
Canonically
the Bat.
Latina.
Yeah, I'm going to pull up a picture of Rouge. How do you spell Rouge?
You love Big Booty Latina.
Oh, damn. Okay, I see you.
Yeah, yeah. Right? No, I get it.
I still get it.
And I get COVID from that. Come on now.
I get COVID from that. Wake up the next morning. What did the bitch give me? I would get tested.
I'd let her suck my blood.
Anyway, Fortnite.
Fortnite is so fun, man. It's fun because we get to hang out with each other without going anywhere. You can just stay home. You can hang out with each other. And it's fun doing the dances. It's really fun.
It's fun drinking a beer.
It's fun drinking beers. That's a good emote. I like how you get the cool dances, though, with like some people, with like some skins, and you can make like Godzilla do them, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah. Godzilla is the best person to dance with. Yeah. Best skin to dance with.
Yeah, he's the funniest skin.
And everybody has a Godzilla except for me?
Yeah, I think it came with a battle pass.
I just think it's hilarious to see Godzilla wearing big-ass sneakers. Oh, I think that's awesome.
I got the Marty McFly shoes in the new battle pass, and I put them on Godzilla. Those things are
because they're like boots, right?
Yeah. They're so funny. We gotta get.
I mean, that is what makes Fortnite fun, is that they just have everything's IP, and it's endlessly entertaining to put a gun in a hand of any character and be like, look at him go, look at him shoot people.
They just did that event that was like all the different IPs from like the past year fighting against the evil. You remember the
yeah,
Fortnite
it was
event?
Like yeah, Endgame, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it was exactly like Avengers.
I got to ride with Uma Thurman.
Yeah, Uma Thurman was there.
The newest version of Uma Thurman.
Godzilla and King Kong, all the Power Rangers.
When did you guys start playing?
Like 2017. Like, but I never played as much as we played like the last year or so. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys get your Fortnite roundup? Your wrap at the end of the year.
Fortnite wrapped. No Fortnite.
You killed this many children.
I think I started playing like last year too. Yeah, I think like last year because... No, wait. It had to be over a year ago because we were playing it when Adam was in town. Yeah, so like a little more than a year now. But that's because my friend Dakota gave me his PS4 because he wasn't using it. And I was like, I might as well get Fortnite. That's free. And then I got really into it. And then I heard y'all had it. And I'm like, oh, we got to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any game that we can play like all together, like Fortnite, Fall Guys. Mm-hmm.
Did you say Fortnite?
Fortnite. Fortnite. Four guys.
Every night's Fortnite with us. All right, new podcast idea, Fortnite. Before we talk about Fortnite. It's the podcast.
You gotta
for
stop
everybody.
Starting a new podcast, Bill. You're not allowed to start another podcast.
New podcast idea. Poop night.
I think the funny thing about Fortnite is that, like, I don't know if this is because I'm old and I just lack the neuroplasticity. I don't think I'm getting any better. I think I'm as good as I'm ever going to be.
I think it's
because
you use words like neuroplasticity. I don't think you get the simplicity of Fortnite. I don't think the aggro dynamics of the video game would really calculate with my penis. Shoot people, man! Get a treasure chest! It's MP's easy!
It really is simple when you break it down.
It's very simple.
It's very simple.
It has almost no neuroplasticity. I've never played Fortnite and been like, stupid neuroplasticity.
No neuroplasticity.
My brain is getting smoother every time.
Yeah.
That's true.
Neurodivergent. Yeah, I love Fortnite. And I think it's really cool they do live events too. And what's really cool
have
about...
Have you been to one? What live event have you been to in Fortnite?
The one that
we were just talking about.
Yeah, the one a few weeks ago where it was like Avengers Endgame. That's the only one I've been
to.
Oh,
gotcha.
But there was one... That was like, they did like a Daft Punk concert. Like, they did a lot of concerts. They did like a Travis Scott one. That's one where a lot of people died. And then the Daft Punk concert.
99 people died.
You know, and I was like, but it's a video game. It doesn't matter. Why was that all in the news? People died at a Travis Scott concert. Wasn't it just a Fortnite dance?
How we doing, folks?
Who would like to get topped off?
That's some good clean comedy.
That's good. And you know what? That brings us to our third theme. Clean comedy.
Clean comedy. Shout out Mike Goodwin. Shout out Brian Regan, one guy we could play at Trader Joe's because we had to play stuff that was clean.
Y'all played comedy on the intercom at Trader Joe's?
Actually, you know who it was? It was when we were like opening and closing, but you know who it was? It was actually Kevin from the guy that we saw at Transmission who would play Brian Regan.
Oh, really?
That's cool. Yeah, he was a big fan.
That's cool. Never really seen him in my comedy shows, but...
Yeah, because he likes clean comedy.
I have very clean comedy.
He likes good comedy.
Well, I can't do that. Yeah, clean comedy. Mike Goodwin is probably the biggest. He's probably the biggest comedian from Columbia, South Carolina. And he's a clean comic. So, you know, he's rolling in it. They make more money than any other comedian because churches pay them out the wazoo.
Shout out to Jim Gaffigan, the only, like, I think exclusively clean comedian I'm a fan of.
Do you like Nate Bargatze, though? He's clean, I would say.
That's true. I think we had that realization while we were watching him. I was like, Oh, shit, he doesn't do anything like blue.
He hasn't said the C word once.
I know, and there were so many opportunities.
He talks about his wife a lot.
Yeah. I love Nate Bargatze. I think he's super funny. And I love Jim Gaffigan. I still find Jim Gaffigan very, very funny.
Yeah.
Who's y'all's favorite clean comedian ever?
Is Dimitri Martin clean? No. Not really.
He says a C-word.
He says a C-word a lot. I forgot he's Australian.
And that's the only difference between a clean and a dirty comic is the C-word.
I guess, yeah. I did listen to Brian Regan sometimes, yeah.
Who's the guy that was Kramer?
He's very clean. Towards one race, he's very clean. He's very clean towards all of the white people.
Phil, do you ever get asked to do it clean?
Yeah, you did. You got it for the Okra Festival.
Yeah, they asked me to do that, but I said no. Not because it was a clean set, just because it looked like a bad setup, and it kind of looked like, you know, a setup for failure. And Topher did it, and Topher described how much of a nightmare it was, and I was like, I was right. Yeah, I was right to say no to that. That sounded horrible. He was saying, like, it wasn't like a real stage. It was like one of those... It was as big as like one of those wooden pallets that you see inside of businesses that they're throwing away. That's how like big, like square footage wise the stage was. And he was like, it was mostly kids in the crowd and the kids were like heckling him, which is so funny to me to think of kid hecklers.
Yeah.
Get off the stage. Like,
do premise, man.
But yeah, I don't know. I have nothing against clean comedy. I think they make a lot more money. They play it way smarter. And I think if you're a good clean comic, then it's like you're unstoppable. Nate Bargatze is like legit one of my favorite comedians, and he's clean. And he got the host SNL. It's big. I think he's so
damn
funny.
I didn't realize when I brought you out to see him that I was taking you to your favorite comedian.
Yeah. I think after I saw him live in Charlotte is when I got way more into him. Like I was still kind of into him beforehand, but seeing him live in Charlotte, I was like, damn, he's a powerhouse.
He's a killer.
He's a killer for show.
Fucking crushes.
But yeah, Mike Goodwin he's like legit. He might be like, I don't know. In my eyes, he's definitely one of the funniest from Columbia, but he's made it so big with clean comedy and stuff. It really just kind of, it showed me at least like when I was like, trying to take comedy serious, I was like, damn, clean comedy really does make an impact on how much like you could book and stuff. Like, he was TV friendly, he made it far in America's Got Talent, he's doing all these churches, getting paid so much money.
What did he do before he did comedy full time?
He was a teacher.
Somebody like Jim Gaffigan, like, he's a clean comedian, but is he doing like the Christian circuit? I mean, I'm sure he could get booked those places. There's like the people who do straight up like, oh, you know, the youth group is like this. Like, there's people who do, like, Christian comedy. Like,
yeah.
Y'all ever see stand-up at a church?
No, actually.
I did once. It was pretty good.
Oh, really?
That's the guy who I was telling you where, like, I'm pretty sure he just does jokes that, like, no one can claim, but, like, everybody knows he didn't come up with. He was the one who, he was talking about how small the town he was from was, and he was like, and I know the toothbrush was invented there, because if it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called a teeth brush. Phil likes it. Phil likes that bit. You love it.
I love it. That's pretty good.
That's the only joke that I remember from his set.
What's that? There's another, like, there is a comedian that I think, I don't know if he does material about, like, Christianity or something, but he's a clean comic, and he's, like, he's a very Christian comic. He just doesn't talk about Christianity, I don't think. But he, John Christ. His last name is Christ.
Is Christ?
Yeah, but John Christ. I don't know if you ever heard of this guy, Paul, but he had a lot of SA allegations come out against him, too. And but I was like, before I heard about those allegations, I would see his stand-up every now and then on, like, I think Comedy Central or something. And he had this one joke that was like, it was one of those type of jokes where it's like, okay, I don't know if you technically stole it or like we can't trace it back, but it's like, it's one of those things where like we made jokes about it in high school when he was like, you know, Tom's shoes, they donate a pair when you buy a pair, but what if you return them? What do they do? Do they take it back from a kid?
Whoa,
he's like, now who in here can I sexually assault?
It is interesting when you see a comedian doing bits. Yeah, like you and Adrian said, where it's like just a cultural joke or like almost meme. And it's like, what are you in this for? Like, you just want to repeat jokes you've heard. I don't know. It is weird.
I mean, like, that happens a lot with, like, current events. And if you go to an open mic after a current event, chances are you're going to see something that somebody tweeted.
Oh, that was like, a popular tweet the day before. There are people who do that where you're like, I saw that tweet. Like, you're just repeating some shit you saw.
Yeah, like, some guy went up to the mic after Elon Musk bought Twitter for, like, billions of dollars. And this guy at the mic was like, I got Twitter on my phone for free. And was like, okay, it's a funny joke, but I saw it a lot on Twitter, like, that same day.
Or even when there's, like, a tag to a joke where it's such a common idea. Like, maybe they'll be telling a story and it's, like, they're an exasperated parent. And there's just, like, one little part and they're like, and then you step on a Lego. And it's, like, that's the laugh break for the crowd to be like, ha, 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 I know about that. That hurts a lot when you step on a Lego.
Yeah, like, little references like that.
Yeah. And it's like, you're a comedian, man. You should think of something new that entertains me, not, like, calling back to, like, popular ideas online.
Stepping on a Lego that's horrible.
You know what I mean? It's like just like
that.
Little
no
I
know exactly what
shit.
You mean, that's a great example too of ones like stepping on a Lego that's been used so many times. Like, I haven't even seen it in a stand-up act because I've seen it on the internet so much, but I know exactly what you mean.
It hoits.
But can we sign up Drake for the open mic and just give him really simple premises? Because that's a good punchline to be like, if you stepped on a Lego, it oits.
It oits. Y'all know my slogan.
But he had to have the sunglasses and the hood on. And act really cool about it.
Just like slumped in a chair. Yeah.
Right. Any other thoughts on clean comedy?
Clean comedy, Fortnite, or Christmas songs? I don't think so. For some reason, I thought I had another thought about Christmas songs. So we talked about Mariah Carey.
Are we gonna do the big debate? When can you start playing Christmas music? Oh. As soon as Thanksgiving's over?
Honestly, I'm not a real stickler.
After Hanukkah?
I'm not a real stickler for the rules when it comes to Christmas decorations or music. Do what makes you happy.
Were you guys ever one of those houses where, like, you guys had Christmas decorations up for, like, 6 months because your parents were lazy?
I'm in one of those houses right now.
Yeah, I am the lazy parent.
I'm in your parents' house right now. No, my parents usually clean it up.
I think that was
my...
Wait, your parents used to put up Christmas decorations, Adrian? Like, your house was not visible from the road. It seems like really... I like that. That's like, we're just doing it for ourselves.
I mean,
it's
like internally.
Kind of a beautiful sentiment.
Internal decorations?
Like, internal decorations,
nothing,
yeah.
Like,
I think
nothing
the
on
thing
the
I'm,
shell.
Yeah, the nothing thing I'm specifically external. Thinking about is my girlfriend's family had a Christmas tree in their living room for like 6 months one time when I was there. Yeah, I remember like in the middle of July, they still had it up. They just never wanted to take it down.
Did any of them ever, did you know anybody that did that joke where they kept the Christmas tree up the whole year and then they just decorated it differently for different seasons?
No.
I think it's kind of cool, actually.
I like that.
Like for Halloween, put fake spider webs on it.
I think we should have more trees in our house.
Oh, we should have a different type of tree for every season. You get a cactus for summer.
Oh, that's good. Cactus for some... For fall, you get a tree that's fallen down on your house and you claim the insurance money.
Yeah, yeah.
For Christmas.
And then you invest in the aristocrat.
Yeah. I think except for getting a tree for my house this year, I'm just going to get one of those Christmas tree costumes for Frankie and just have her sit in the corner when I have guests over.
She does love doing that.
She's doing that right now.
She loves it.
She should be a great Christmas tree. All right, she's looking at me now. I think she's pissed.
I think she could be a tree because she got a lot of bark.
Clean comedy.
Clean comedy, folks.
All right, let's all do one clean comedy. We all have to tell one clean joke, and then we'll get into the first article. Jake, your topic is pedophilia.
Why did the baby strawberry cry? Because her mother was in a jam.
Adrian's like, I can't jam this dick in here. I think I get clean comedy.
I think I get it.
So when the banana drove off, but...
Is it split?
No, not that. No, Paul, let me finish. So the banana drove off, but it didn't say it drove off. What did it say it did when it drove off? It didn't split. It didn't say that. What did the banana say when it drove off in a car? He said, I just peeled off. And then it took off its peel and exposed itself.
To children.
Keeping it clean, okay.
Clean comedy check.
Comedy.
And then it exposed itself to young children in the area. Does anybody listen when I come on? What happens to the listeners? When do they drop off? We're 3 hours in. First article is about to pop off. All right. I think I'm ready for the first article, if y'all are.
All right. So our first article comes from a publication called Dear Therapist
on the website Print Friendly, I guess. And this article is titled, My Son Has an Impractical, Ridiculous Career Plan.
Also, it's from The Atlantic. Print Friendly is how Adrian gets around the paywall.
Ah, I see. Sneaky link. All right. This is Lori Gottlieb, art by Bianca Bagnarelli. And it's a very large woman holding a very small man doing comedy.
Oh, I got to pull this up.
In the palm of her hand.
I got to look at this picture.
Is this your fetish?
This comes to us from March 28th, 2018. That's a good year. Man, I had just gotten out of college. I was living. Anyway, okay. Dear therapist, a few months ago on a college tour, our 18-year-old son announced that he had found his purpose and future career. He wants to do stand-up comedy. The fact is, he's got some talent in this area. He's comfortable on stage. He's a great physical comedian. He can do accents. He's charming and funny. At the same time, at 18, he's undisciplined. He's a procrastinator, and he gets debilitating migraine headaches when he is sleep deprived, dehydrated, malnourished, or stressed. The late nights, lack of a consistent schedule, and intense stress of that lifestyle seem like a terrible idea for a kid who probably needs lots of structure and a good night's sleep to function in the world. Then I start thinking about how he will pay the bills, buy a house, have a family, all the real life considerations that an 18-year-old does not think about. But I know how hard and possibly unrealistic this path can be. Thankfully, he's not saying, Mom, I'm skipping college and heading to New York City, and I want you to support me financially while I pursue this dream. He wants to...
I want Drake to read all your articles now. This is so fun.
He wants to go to a small college, take theater and writing classes.
Wait, can you do that quote again? I'm sorry. But can I be the mom and say, hey, you're not skipping college? And then you go, hey, son, you can't skip college. You
Mom,
go.
I'm skipping college and heading to New York City. And I want you to support me financially while I support this. Or wait, while I pursue this dream. I fucked up on that take now.
What if you fuck up on stage, kid?
He wants to go to a small college, take theater and writing classes, and take advantage of opportunities to be funny on stage during the safe years of college. We don't want to be those parents who crush his dream, but we don't want him living in our basement at 35, getting paid $200 a week to perform at a local club, and finding himself crippled career-wise because he spent years not learning how to make it in the real world. How do we balance our desire to be supportive of his dream with our fear of harming our child by not pushing him to orient his college experiences towards a quote-unquote real job? Diana from Atlanta, Georgia. Let's
Ooh,
go find
her. Atlanta. That's a... Yeah. Try to find her son. 2018, too. I wonder if I know this guy.
Oh, true. Well, no. He would have been like a freshman when we were...
Yeah,
seniors
so
in college.
Age demo Phil hangs out with.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the kids. That's a pretty poppin' city to
yeah,
start
he
stand-up comedy.
For
I mean, honestly, yeah, he could open for T. No, the fact that that's a big city to do stand-up comedy in, if he's going to college in Atlanta, Georgia, that's kind of perfect. I don't know, because, like, no, what I was saying, though, is, like, Atlanta's, like, a big city to do comedy in, so if he's going to college there, I don't know. I would say, like, hey, as long as you have good grades in college, you can keep on doing it, because that's a big city to do it in, and he can actually get somewhere with it.
He's going to Emory?
I don't know. If he's going to Emory, that's still pretty near Atlanta, right?
I don't know. Why is she treating doing comedy while being in college as like, get like it's like he told her, like, Mom, I'm thinking about getting into heroin. Like, it's fine. Does she want him to switch majors? Is that it? Like, you should do a serious major? Well, that is probably kind of true.
What is he majoring in?
I doubt being in theater is going to actually help him be a better comedian. No, he just wants to take theater and writing classes. Yeah, I don't see why she has a problem with that. He's not saying, like, Mom, I want to do something horrible. Like, this seems like the best way to engage with this.
Yeah, it just seems like an extracurricular activity, kind of, you know? So it's not like, if you see his grades dropping and he's like, well, yeah, I'm always going out to the clubs to do the mics and stuff, then yeah, then at that point, be like, okay, I won't pay for your college. Then
I'm
if you're
a regular
just-
at the Chuckle Hut, Mom. I'm going to make it.
At the Chuckle Hut.
T.I. said, I've got something.
T.I. said he will never look at my pussy. Ma, I went to the Trap Cafe for the mic. They said T.I. might be there tonight. I know they say that every time.
Son, sorry, the only T.I. you should care about is your T.I. 84, okay? Get good grades.
We went to the, just for your listeners who don't know.
Did you not hear
that?
I didn't hear any laughter. The only T.I. you should care about, son, is the T.I. 84. Get good grades.
Ooh.
And then she starts stand-up comedy? And she only does T.I. flips?
She should, if she's so worried about her son pursuing stand-up comedy, she should, like, become, like, a competing comedian and, like, just roast him on all his mics.
Yeah.
I was going to say she should become a promoter.
That too. Just keep him off the shows.
She buys the Chuckle Hut?
But yeah, I'm struggling to see an issue with, if we're taking this seriously, that I'm struggling to see an issue.
Your
like,
advice was get into clean comedy, right?
If you want to make the most money, get into clean comedy. But, I mean, if you're not a... If you don't have a clean sense of humor, then don't force it. You know, you got to just be yourself.
Also, I found out during this trip that basically anybody can have an Amazon special if you want an Amazon special. So
yeah, you could just buy an Amazon special very easily. But yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to affect his college career. I mean, if he hasn't even gone to college yet. And I don't know why she was saying like he gets big headaches when he's hungry. Like, what is she talking about? Like, why is she talking about his health?
We all get big headaches when we're hungry. Because it's not a very structured life.
Yeah, otherwise you'd be getting plenty of sleep in college. Nobody goes out and parties when they're
why do you, why does
to
she
college.
Think,
the only way-
why does she think he's immediately going to be on tour? Like, she's going to be touring and like he can't handle that lifestyle and keep the grades up.
Success. And he's going to be a club regular. Like he's 18 years old. There's no way he's like a prodigy.
If anything, this is when you want him to get into it. He might be into it for 2 months and quit.
This is precisely like, this is when you got into him, it, like, when Phil got into it. Phil got into it like freshman year.
But also, that's what she was saying, yeah. Is like, they're safe years to try out this shit right now. Like, that's the whole point.
These are probably the safest years.
The best version of it.
Yeah, do you remember when we started, like, why we started? Or, like, did we both just say we had always thought about doing it, and so we just went up? Or?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because we both did our first open mic together. Honestly, that might be, like, okay, so I'm trying to just figure out what she's worried about. Because she's like, he's going to get a headache if he's malnourished. He can't do comedy. What if he's hungry while he's on stage? Like, I guess she's worried about him going to college and not focusing on his academics and just focusing on stand-up comedy, thinking that that's going to be his career.
Can I say the real reason she should be worried about this? Based on the open mics I've gone to see you at, Phil, in my head, one of the reasons that would have been cool to maybe do like stand-up or open mics would have been like, oh, the people there would be like interesting or a cool friend group. But going to see you at open mics really dissuades you of that opinion. It is you don't want to encourage him to befriend the freaks and weirdos who show
up
and do 100%. Local stand-up comedy. That's what she should be worried about, is the seedy figures, the seedy, horrible people he's going to be spending time around.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. I mean, I've made some really good friends off comedy, but also I've met a lot of weird people, more weird people than good friends, I would say, 100%. I don't know, most times I do like an open mic or even a show out of town, I'm not like unfriendly towards comics, but I don't try to really spark up conversation because it's just like, I've met so many shitty people and weird people to where I'm like, we're here for business. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in that kind of situation, like comedy wise. I think the closest thing I've ever been to that is like when I did the Laughing Skull open mic in Atlanta. And because they had a big green room with a lot of comics back there, but a lot of people not even performing, just a lot of like Atlanta regular comics, but they all know each other. So it was a very friendly vibe in there. So it wasn't like.
So good scene to do comedy.
Yeah, it's a good scene. Like, I haven't been to Atlanta enough to have like a good like judgment on their scene or whatever like that, but they all seem very nice. And everything, but I've never been in a room where it's just like nobody knows each other and they're all going on stage that night, because comedy is so competitive to where I feel like that would be an aggressive room, a little not aggressive, like, or it could be kind of intimidating to go in there to be like, oh man, it's almost like we're all auditioning for something, you know what I mean? And that's what kind of Kill Tony is like, so that would suck, but I don't know. I think once you do comedy for like, I think the first year or so, you want to be friendly towards everybody and make as many friends as you want. So I could see why the mother is scared that the son is going to try to hang out with like 50-year-old unemployed people.
This is
life.
She did not say anything about that. I think she's worried about a balance, a work life. Or
that was my addition. That was Paul's. This of is what she should actually yeah. be. Yeah. Of what she should
real,
actually be.
Yeah,
worried
the
about.
Actual thing. Is, but she's. I just read the last thing. The call to action. And she was like, how do we balance encouraging him while also saying, focus on your studies, basically?
I guess just watch his grades.
Yeah.
Yeah, just watch his.
Yeah. Like she already said himself.
Watching like that, greed watching.
She already said herself, like he doesn't. He's not going to move to New York. Like this all seems like very reasonable.
Wait, hold. Quick question: did your parents know what grades you got in college? Did they sign your report card? I don't think my parents knew how I was doing.
I mean,
in
I had a scholarship at one point, and then I lost it.
Damn. All right, and then sorry, I got it back. Okay, I didn't mean to bring that up.
So the thing was, I lost a scholarship, and then they noticed that it was on my grades.
They noticed a couple thousand dollars.
Like, what's wrong?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So I. What were you just saying though about like balancing? What was the call to action? Oh, New York City, right? There's a lot of shitty comics I know that moved to LA or New York City. Where I wasn't their parent, but I was like, I wanted to tell them, don't do it. Like, hey, you're not gonna make it. Kid.
And did any of them come back?
No, because I think they're stuck there. They don't know what to do. They're scared.
They forgot how to get back.
But a lot of them go there and just end up working jobs and be like, okay, well, now I guess I just moved here and I live here now. But obviously, it's not comedy keeping them.
Because, was it Drew? Genesis moved with her partner, right?
Oh, there was a comedian named Genesis.
Yeah, didn't her and her boyfriend?
Oh, Joe. Yeah. Joe and Genesis. They moved somewhere. And then Timmy moved to LA with Addison at one point.
That's crazy. That one's crazy.
Well, I think Timmy's really good at
comedy. No. I just mean moving with her was an insane.
But her, yeah. But he's very open and he knows that was a mistake. Yeah.
And then Drew moved to New York and actually.
His name wasn't. Derek. Derek's really good at stand-up comedy. He moved to New York, but his girlfriend got a job there too, I think. Like, it kind of just made sense for him. And I don't think he really does stand-up comedy anymore, but he's super funny. I think he just realized how competitive it was up there, and he was very smart about it. And now he like owns like a heavy metal like record label or something like that. He does something with like booking heavy metal bands, but he's super funny. Like, there's a lot of really funny comics I know who have moved to New York City and LA too, and they just didn't make it. And it was like, that's how competitive it is. Like, it's a very ridiculous. You have to be very delusional to do comedy. And it's very funny to me that this parent is so like in tune with comedy to be like, he wants to be in New York City. He wants to be a comedy club regular for $200 a week. It's like, she's kind of like nailing this on the head right now. This is exactly what comedy is like. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we kind of came to the conclusion to be like, watch his grades. And then if you're scared about the balance, you could just look at the balance. You could look at the grades. You can go to Blackboard.
We use Canvas at UC Davis, but yeah.
I think the East Coast does.
I mean, or just ask him how he's doing, unless you think your son's like a piece of shit liar, right? Like, you don't have to like spy on your children. You can just call them up and be like, hey, school going well? How's life?
He's like, yeah, I got all the scholarships.
Yeah, I still got them. Don't check.
Don't check.
I didn't get caught drinking.
Who's reading the answer?
I read the answer. I think Drake is a very good question reader. He had a very, you missed the good voice he did for the game.
Oh, I can't wait to hear it back.
All right, the answer. Dear Diana, I want you to try this exercise. One, stand in front of a mirror.
Why don't you try chugging my jug?
It's a Fortnite article. Okay, dear Diana, I want you to try this exercise. One, stand in front of a mirror. Two, ask yourself, whose face is staring back at you? End answer. No, I'm fairly certain that the answer to this question won't be my son's. In other words, though this may seem obvious, you and your son aren't reflections of each other, but two distinct people, and acknowledging this will reduce your anxiety, not just about his future, but about yours. Now, let's try another exercise. One, take a deep breath. Two, get on your knees. No, one, take a deep breath. Two, repeat. Three, say to yourself, there's a definite possibility that I have some flawed assumptions about my son and his aspirations. Four, repeat steps one and two, but not three. Okay. Your son sounds lovely. He's passionate about comedy and thoughtful about how much risk he can tolerate. To that end, he's decided to pursue his dream while in college and is self-reflective enough to consider the kind of place, small, where he can do theater and writing. That might suit him best. All of this shows his maturity. Like many parents, myself included, if you catch me on that kind of day, you assume that you have insight to offer based on your age. But what you're actually offering is an opinion based on your temperament. What you might call unrealistic, he might call exciting. At 18, your son can attempt pretty much anything with little to no downside. Like we were saying, this is a good age to do it. He could try writing and performing, decide he's, P-R-E-M-E-D. Pre-med? Oh, yeah, he could decide he's pre-med and change to medieval history. You name it. Few career goals are unrealistic to entertain as a high school senior, barring, say, becoming an NBA player or a world-class pianist. I think she meant to say penis. In fact, his decision to pursue comedy isn't just a low-risk proposition. It's exactly the kind of experience he needs to live a fulfilling life. Oh my God, this answer is so long. Blah, 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 blah. Instead of trying to steer him in the direction of your comfort zone, let him find his own. Lucky for him, parents provide plenty of fodder for comedy. As you watch him blossom, I hope you remember to laugh. Okay, so she's saying like, hey, give him a chance. Let him figure out himself. Yeah. You gotta laugh. Laughter is the best medicine. I think she's just saying like, hey, let him try. And if he fails,
let
he'll
him work, let him live.
Let him work, let him live.
That's how they do it here. Y'all always do that. Y'all always let him work, let him live.
She didn't really say anything about the balance, but she was just saying like, just let him try it.
She didn't say anything about figuring out his sleep issues.
Yeah. What if it was all answered based off like, why is he getting headaches when he's hungry? My son's a little string bean. He won't eat anything. He get a little headaches, a little string bean. I think that's pretty good advice. Just let him try.
Yeah, seemed reasonable.
Good job, therapist.
I think she should scare him out of doing comedy by showing him examples of how wrong your life can go.
Yeah, scare straight.
Take him to an Adam Koch show.
Do you think she should show him that ex-convict that we saw do comedy in Charlotte, Paul, where he was in prison, my favorite hobby was to expose and extort pedophiles. And he had a whole set about it. And then he eventually got banned from that mic because he like punched another comedian.
To be fair, there's two things we know about him. That he likes committing violence against pedophiles yes. and that he punched a comedian. So I'm not saying anything about this other comedian, but...
They not like us.
They not like us.
No, that's a good idea, Paul. I also liked, what was it, Drake's idea of her doing comedy and then roasting him?
Yeah, she just gets on all his shows and goes up like right before him. Like,
I used to change his diaper. He liked to go doo-doo.
You used to have a tiny penis.
And now he can't doo-doo because he gets headaches when he's hungry.
He used to have a tiny penis. He still does. He just used to, too.
She's just Mitch Hedberg's stuff, which is about how tiny his penis is.
Okay, next up, we got Karen Feeding. This is Nicole Cliff from 2019. This is our Fortnite advice column.
Let's go.
Dear Care and Feeding, our 12-year-old plays video games, with Fortnite taking about 80% of his gaming time, which we limit. He gets enraged at the game, foot stomping and screaming, and is generally unpleasant for 5 to 10 minutes after each session. I get the frustration, but in our small house, his feelings take up considerable energy. Is this typical? Do you have any tips for mellowing him? These events usually end with me calmly taking the controller and his headset and stashing them away. But of course, I desperately want to throw them in the trash. Where should I go from here?
Seems like he's very passionate about gaming.
He just needs to get better. It's fun to win.
Yeah.
Winning's fun. I'm in a great mood when I get a VR.
Your son just sucks.
Yeah, your son just sucks at Fortnite.
He just must be running into us. Yeah. We'll stop playing for a little bit. Tell him to log on right now. Oh, I know that shitty little kid you're talking about. Yeah, I killed him a little bit.
Yeah, he sucks.
I would say he needs to get like some more emotes in his life. Whenever I'm feeling like a little bit on edge in the lobby, I just take like a quick beer break. I do the drinking a beer emote with all my friends, and that usually like calms me down and lets me vibe my way to a VR.
Yeah, Fortnite's about having fun. It's not about winning. If it was about winning, we would have been done a long time ago.
I think you should end every session with a couple Fall Guys. It's hard to be mad at Fall Guys. Actually, Fall Guys can get frustrating. I
get more pissed at Fall Guys than Fortnite.
Shit, I was going to say, Fortnite doesn't really stress me out that much. I think there's so much adrenaline.
The thing that gets me about Fortnite,
feel good afterwards, no matter what.
The thing that kind of does frustrate me about Fortnite, and I think it's just because I'm bad at the game. Sometimes it feel like I get shot once, and like all of my life goes down. I'm like, what the hell? What kind of gun do they have? This isn't fair. I have to shoot people a million times.
I will say I don't get pissed at Fortnite, but like my fastest move in Fortnite is turning off the PlayStation 4.
I love doing that.
I can turn off the PS4 in like 2 seconds and like with the remote. And like, I think that shows how angry I get at the game.
Interesting.
You do it out of anger? I always just thought you were efficient.
If I lose, If I'm by myself, I'll do it out of anger. But if I'm playing with y'all and we're like, hey, this is our last game, which a lot of times it doesn't.
It is not.
It's never our last game.
And you always turn it off.
If it is our, if we say it's our last game and we lose right afterwards out of anger, I'll turn off the PS4 and then I'll stay on the Discord and be like, all right, that was fun, y'all. And they'll be like, one more, and be like, I just turned it off.
Yeah, that's a common occurrence.
Yeah.
That is pretty
all right, funny. Here's my question. Did any of y'all punch drywall as kids? Do we have any drywall punchers in the room?
Nah.
Nah.
Punched wet walls.
I couldn't afford that. My house made of brick.
No, I never punched any drywall. Mm-hmm. I did get, like, whenever I was in middle school, I got really mad at Halo 3 for sure. I broke, like, they had, like, these really, really flimsy Xbox Live microphones that were, like, it was just basically, like, a headset with, like, a little microphone like that. And they were made out of plastic mostly. So I just, like, would snap the top of it. And then I remember embarrassingly, like, I would just... If I had snapped one in half, I would just like wear a hat and I'd put the headphone part like inside the hat so that it would stay up so I could game some more. I'm not going to sit here and like front like I never got mad at a video game.
I mean, Fortnite is the only shooty game I play that's really high adrenaline. I'm more of like a Pokemon Snap kind of guy.
Maybe it's because I'm older though, but I do feel like those games, maybe because I was better at them, they definitely pissed me off more. But like, I feel like they had higher stakes. There was something about losing in Call of Duty or Halo that felt more real.
Getting teabagged.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, you used to be good at Call of Duty, right?
I like the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. That was kind of big in high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
That one, yeah. I got really into that in high school. And then I think I played it a little bit more when we got to college.
Yeah.
But like,
just throw on some Christina Perry.
Yeah, Christina Perry. I acted like I was a soldier who was like coming back from war. I had to kill like,
and that really got you in the zone.
The
yeah.
First.
I mean, when things are going bad on Rust, you know, you're dying over and over and you're respawning and dying right away.
Yeah.
It feels shitty, man.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I always kind of liked that about video games. Like, if I found one that I liked, I don't have to get the newest version of it. Like, for example, Skate 3. I still find it way better than, like, what this early release of Skate 4
Yeah,
is.
That
like,
game was bad.
Yeah, I don't like the new Skate 4.
I like how I can give anyone boobs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We all got BBLs and boobs. That was pretty cool.
Now, why do you guys think you guys are giving your characters BBLs and boobs?
They're hot.
They're hot. Don't look into it. But yeah, same thing with Modern Warfare 2. Like, because they had so many other Call of Duties afterwards, like Black Ops and Black Ops 2.
You know, oh, never mind. This is kind of a tangent, but I forgot that this was a common thing. Paul, didn't you have a thing where your brother was questioning you why you were a girl in a video game?
Oh, yeah. I don't feel like I ever did it because I was hot. I just or wanted to look at a hot character. yeah, he thought it was so odd. And I was like, I don't know. I just make RPG characters women for some reason. Maybe I need to explore that. Maybe Mandy has a point.
Coleman does that as well. And I don't think it's about the hotness thing.
But see, I'm at least like pretty like morally right when I do it, right?
Yeah, you're morally
like,
right.
I'm morally mm-hmm. right because I will sometimes see like, a hot lady or a lady in the Fortnite shop
lady.
And then I'm like, I don't know this work of fiction, let me at least see if she's of age, and a lot of times they're not, and I'm like, I'm not going to get it, and I don't find this lady hot.
You know, I've told this story before, but yeah, I had a friend in middle school who famously would throw his controller when he got mad. I think he broke a ceiling fan or something once.
Oh, see, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, if he's like breaking stuff, like if he's only getting mad at the video game and then he's not breaking anything and he's not like visibly upset after the game.
Also, what is this idea that like your feelings can be big enough to fill up a small house? What was that about?
Also, he's generally unpleasant for 5 to 10 minutes. Wait
that's
it
not
out.
That much.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you need to? Is that like 5 to 10 minutes really important, like yeah. bonding moments? Like, I don't know. Let him,
you know what?
Let him be unpleasant for a minute.
Step one, look in the mirror.
You
step two, look at who's looking back at you in the mirror. I don't think it's gonna be his son.
I'm gonna inside out this. Maybe it's okay for him to be a little unpleasant for 5 to 10 minutes. Let him be a little angry. Maybe make him improve at the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he should want to be
everyone's
better.
Biggest goal should be getting better at Fortnite.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If he's
I mean,
a piece of shit all day or something. Like, I don't know. Let somebody who's frustrated with themselves just feel a little frustration. Maybe it's not
a
big deal.
I think that's fine. And I think it was big of Drake to admit it. I do think there is something funny about being a person who's mad at video games.
Absolutely. It's really funny.
Yeah,
it's
kind of funny. I don't know.
It's a funny genre of like YouTube videos to watch for sure.
Oh, were you the WoW guy?
Yeah, I was.
You were the WoW kid?
Yeah, that I,
you were that, sticking that remote
that
in your ass?
That felt really good, too.
Equivalent to this as oh, adults shit. Who are in a stinky mood when their it's sports empty. Team loses. It is just like, what is going... Like, come on. But, I mean, he's a kid. I don't know. Kids aren't going to be
How old did it say again?
So mature.
What is it?
No, he was like 9 or something, right? It was like a very young child, yeah. right?
Oh, he's 12.
12-year-old.
12? Oh, okay. Yeah. That was about the age that I was playing Halo 3, like middle school. That seems pretty normal.
If it was like, oh, he's mean to me for like hours afterwards, 5 to 10 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's an amount of time you're allowed to be upset if you lose something. You can feel yeah. upset when you lose.
Yeah. Okay, how upset are y'all after you lose Fortnite like a lot in a session? Are you mad at all afterwards?
No, not really.
No.
Yeah, I don't think
it's,
I am either.
It's too goofy of a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just enjoy it. Yeah, I mean, like, the reason I'll play it, like, I'm not, like, riveted by the gameplay all the time, but it's, like, it's a really easy game to, like, just hang out with your friends in. You have, like,
know,
a big map.
Sometimes we'll lose, and, like, maybe I'll go to Drake's house, and both of his cats are in arm slings. So the game didn't go too well.
Well, that's different.
That's different anger.
They pissed me off while I was pissed off.
I will say, I'm shit at chess, but... It definitely
oh,
has
yeah.
something to do with the game.
You got
because...
the guys who are talking about jizzing on your mama's tit.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That was a message he got from a Pakistani dude, was I jizz on your mama's tit.
That's yeah, sick. So I feel worse when I lose at chess for sure.
That's a smart man's game. That takes a lot of
Fortnite,
neuroplasticity.
But I know people feel even worse than that because I've gotten so many mean messages on the chess app, whereas I've never gotten a mean message when I beat somebody on Fortnite. So it is like a more emotionally evocative game, I assume. I don't
because
know what the...
I guess like with Fortnite, it's more like how good are you at Fortnite? With chess, it's like how smart are you
yeah.
thinking ahead and stuff like that. So when somebody maybe loses, they feel like they're not as smart as the other person. That,
maybe it's
something?
A little bit of that, but I think it's like more you can be personally frustrated. In Fortnite, you're like, ah, he got the jump on me. And chess, you're like, I fucked up. Like, it was on me for real. Like,
he had a big boom boom gun.
It's like, god damn, I almost had it. Fuck that guy. Whereas in Fortnite, I don't know. It doesn't feel as personal. It's like, ah, yeah, he got the jump on me.
Yeah. Now, it is personal when they teabag you and they dance on your grave in Fortnite.
That's
when,
so funny, though.
It's funny. It is funny.
Also, yeah, chess kind of sucks because you can't be Ice Spice.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't be Godzilla with the Nikes on. With the Nikes.
Yeah, the queens and chess aren't hot as all. Hot.
Oh,
hot
how about, okay, Drake, does, because I know you play Rocket League, and that feels like it might be a little bit more frustrating to lose that, because it's like a little more personal, like, oh, I fucked up. I didn't do good. I could have done better.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I've definitely, I think it's maybe like, how much of an investment I put into the game. But yeah, Rocket League, I mean, it's like an entirely competitive game. And I've been frustrated at that. She said Fortnite's like really like all the game that he plays.
80%.
80%. So I mean, like, if he's
the only 20% is GTA 6.
Yeah, he might like really take it seriously or something and get frustrated about it. But I still think that if it's not to like a explosive extent, then yeah, I mean, you can support him in those moments and. You know, hopefully he'll work out. Like, he's a middle schooler, basically. He's gonna have explosive emotions. I don't think it's anything
yeah.
to really fret too
Honestly,
much over.
The only thing
she
for
didn't
me
really
for Fortnite,
describe what he was doing, but I mean, if it's bad enough, talk to him about maturity. But like, mm-hmm. if it's not that yeah. bad, it's probably fine.
The main thing for me for Fortnite is when I feel like I'm letting down my boys. I'm always getting revived.
Yeah. I don't want
the main thing for me
down.
Is I feel like you're letting me down a lot, so.
Yeah.
This is an intervention.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Gotta get better at Fortnite. By any means
really,
necessary.
I really don't think I can. I really don't think I have the ability. I think the only thing that gets me a little bit better is the PS5 controller is a little bit easier to use than the Nintendo Switch controller.
Have you tried buying any skins?
I should. That's probably the issue.
I think sometimes when I'm driving the car in Fortnite and... When I get like
Phil
a big...
is full on therapy, like laying down on the couch right now.
I just feel like when I take
Let's use
time
I statements, yeah.
to find a 4-seater SUV in Fortnite,
get in the
I'm
goddamn
like,
car,
and I'm like, hey,
get the goddamn car.
I have a seat for all of y'all. We can all get in, and then y'all all choose to get on top of the car. I feel insulted in a way. I feel like I could have just gone to get a two-seater car. Because either way.
Well, Phil, to be fair, you are the worst driver in Fortnite imaginable. The amount of times we've been trying to run away from a gunfight and you drive into a wall. Get fucking wrecked by the other team.
Okay, this is good. This is good. We're okay, I guess we're
Paul's
lying.
Not using I statements.
We're lying to each other. That's a cool thing to do. But no, I'm the best driver in Fortnite. Y'all are not good seaters. Y'all don't know how to be passenger princesses.
Do y'all want to hear the answer here?
No.
No.
No, yeah, let's hear it.
It's time for a sit down. Handling it in the moment by taking away the game is fine and good, but he's still in the heat of the moment and not necessarily, you know, processing lasting memories and improving his judgment. So I want you to choose a quiet time to sit down with him and your partner, if you have one, and basically lay it out there. You act a damn fool playing Fortnite. You can't scream and freak out in our home over video games. We cannot continue in this fashion. 12-year-olds are so angry and hormonal. I do have sympathy for him. He needs to learn that not being able to control his temper has consequences, because this is an intensely valuable life lesson. In this conversation, tell him the next time he creates a small trash fire over Fortnite, not only does Fortnite go away, but for the next week his video game time gets cut by X amount. You'll know best what will create a balance between means nothing to him and will cause open rebellion because it's too unreasonable. I wish you all the very best.
Mm.
I mean, if he was screaming and freaking out, I guess that's a more reasonable response. I didn't really know how bad his reactions were based on the original question.
He didn't say anything about saying the gamer word.
Yeah. She didn't include in the question that he's sending messages threatening people's families to look them up over their IP address and come hurt them IRL.
But what if her partner is like more into Fortnite and he gets more upset?
Her partner's like mandating at least 8 hours per day on Fortnite.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got to increase his time so he gets better.
You're not getting an esports scholarship if not putting in the hours.
Yeah, make him play until he gets a victory royale. That's how you fix this.
Honestly, that was one of my things.
Smoke this whole pack of cigarettes.
Where like when I felt like I was playing too many video games, I was like, all right, I'm going to set a goal for myself to win in this manner, or like win this or get this achievement, and then I'm gonna take a break. And that usually actually worked for me. I don't think a victory royale is gonna work because it's just gonna make you want to play a little bit more.
You gotta do like a 360 no scope. What are you doing?
Yeah, like when I was playing Monkey Ball, Super Monkey Ball 2 a lot in college, I was like, all right, I just gotta get through all the expert levels without using one life. And I did it eventually.
Yeah, I remember you doing that all throughout finals week, actually.
I did lose my scholarship, but I got the achievement. I'm no longer
you never played again?
And that's your advice, if they should be like you?
Yeah, be like me.
You're never going to make the big leagues if you don't put in the hours, kid.
I'm wearing sunglasses indoors, kid. You want to be like me?
You want to party with Ninja?
Look in the mirror. I turn around.
All right. What's the third segment again, Adrian?
What do you mean? We haven't thought of one. Oh, are we gonna?
I thought you had an idea. It's like,
here's the thing, Paul. At breakfast, I was like, "Here, I got some third segment ideas." I listed like three or four of them. Adrian's kind of looking around the restaurant, and then he's like, "Oh, look how cool this cup is that I got." And I'm like, "All right, it's on you."
Drake confirmed that it was an interesting cup.
Oh, okay.
Phil, you see what it's like to work with Adrian.
Yeah,
now.
I see what it is. I'm sorry, Paul, that you have to deal with this. An idea I had yesterday was just going through the top Christmas toys of 2024. A little roundup, maybe. And maybe we can give our predictions of what the 2025...
I want to know what's hot, yeah. What are kids asking for these days?
All right, so this is from the Toy Insider. This is the 2025 Holiday Gift Guide. The 20th annual Toy Insider Holiday Gift Guide features the very best toys and games for every child on your shopping list. This one-stop... one-stop shop features nearly 400 expertly reviewed playthings made by trusted manufacturers and sold by reputable retailers.
Can you send it so I can look at it?
Yeah. All right, I just sent the leak. Hot 20. Let's go. The first one is the Furby DJ Furby Rainbow. Along with 5 interactive modes and more than 1,000 play combinations.
Holy shit, $70?
Kids can enjoy more than 20 different games, songs, and activities, $70, ages 6+.
Do you guys, for the audience, imagine what a Furby looks like. You know those creepy little fuckers? Now imagine it's an anaconda also. Yeah,
it is tall.
Make it long, baby.
Long legs.
It looks
long
like leg. That flying dog from the Never Ending Story, if it was like for Pride Month or something.
Yeah.
This thing is horrifying. This looks like it's out of my nightmares.
Yeah, this is pretty scary.
You love it.
You love it.
This thing's going to come alive.
But it's like a DJ, so it plays songs and you can play games with it?
For $70, I could hire an actual DJ.
For $70, I can show you the Anaconda. That's crazy. $70. Is that how much toys? Like, how much were toys back when we were a kid? I feel like they weren't $70. In my childhood, honey.
I mean, I guess gaming systems were expensive, but I don't think my parents were usually dropping $70 on a gift. I don't know.
All right, let's go to the second one. The For Real, spelled F-U-R-R-E-A-L. For Real, Maggie the Feed and Follow Cow. Maggie, the 9-inch tall mini cow, has more than 50 sound and motion combinations for kids to activate. When they put her bottle in her mouth and twist it, they can guide Maggie as she walks.
That's kind of cute. It is cute.
All right, $46.
It's not $46, cute.
$46, I can show you a cow.
Yeah, it's a little like, it's one of those RoboPops, but it's a cow shape.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought kids didn't play with toys anymore. I really thought this was all going to be video games or something.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
It's going to be like a sick iPad.
There's a Switch 2 bundle. Wait, a little further down.
Okay.
Did any of y'all ever have like the Robo Sapiens or like any?
Yeah, my neighbors had it. Yeah,
those were. I did like the Robo Sapien a lot, but you can control that with a remote. This doesn't even look like you control it with a remote.
No, you just lead it to water.
Yeah,
and make a drink.
Did y'all see that video of like the horse you lead to
you
water?
You sent it. I didn't watch it. What was
the
it?
The horse would be like, what do you want me to do?
Okay, talking about high prices. Next up, we got something that's from a TV show my niece likes a lot.
Gabby's
Have y'all heard
dollhouse?
About Gabby's Dollhouse?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's about a little girl who can like jump into her dollhouse and she has like little cat friends and it becomes animated when she becomes tiny.
That's cool.
This is $107 for the Gabby's dollhouse.
Wait, do y'all want to
guess the price?
Yeah. So I'll talk about the next one, the Imagine next one. Don't look at it. Y'all try to guess the price. All right.
But the Gabby dollhouse, how are they justifying this price? What does it do?
It has LCD eyes and I think there's like maybe little electronics in every room. So there are like different little like things to play with in each room.
All right, yeah. Hard pass.
All right, next one is... So y'all go look at the picture. Don't scroll down to the price. Okay. Try to guess how much it is. It's the Imagine Next Jurassic World Rebirth Ultimate Action Chomp T-Rex.
Now, this looks pretty cool.
It does look pretty cool. You control the action with the Jurassic World T-Rex and break her loose from the holding base. Pop open the blindfolds and send her rampaging forward with chomping action. So it looks like it kind of just makes a mess in your room, but it's kind of like a little robo pet, right? It's like just another pet that's like a little robot. And
yeah, but it's powerful enough to break through walls.
It's like
military grade technology.
This can kill a kid. It said, "It could, don't have your kid play with it unsupervised." How much do y'all think this is?
$300.
It requires batteries, so you got to account for that. It's got the Energizer.
Oh yeah, I'll start listing that too. 3 AA batteries. Paul, you say $300?
Yeah. The picture doesn't really do it justice, but I'm gonna guess like 80, maybe.
80. All right. Trey, what do you think?
I accidentally saw the price.
Oh.
So my guess is $107.99.
And Drake is spot on. All right. Next one is the Imagineer bumper cars. Okay, this is cool. So it looks like a little bumper car.
That looks dope.
Behind it is like a big Spider-Man. Almost like looks like he's in the back seat or whatever.
It almost looks like he's hitting you from the back.
Yeah, Spider-Man kind of looks like he's hitting you from the back as you ride a car. It's kind of like Roadhead, but he's doing it from the back. Kids can ride around with their favorite friends in these bumper cars, which feature inflatable characters on the back from brands like Disney, Bluey, Marvel, and more.
Oh,
so
I want to ride with
multiple,
Bluey.
Multiple ones, okay. So it requires just one 6V battery. It's like a whole damn car.
It's a whole car and it takes one battery?
One 6V though. 6Vs are huge.
Okay.
If you lick the 6V battery, you get electrocuted.
I mean, it's the coolest one so far. I do want to ride with Bluey.
I do want to ride with Bluey too. I want Bluey to hit me from the back while I ride it.
I don't know. I would have thought this was more expensive, but if it takes one battery, that feels like it's not that complicated a thing. So maybe
I'm
60
gonna guess
bucks.
Like 150.
Okay, you say $60, Paul?
Yeah.
You say
150.
150?
100.
100. 128.
Hey.
We're going Price is Right rules.
No.
Dre got it. We're doing Price is Right rules, by the way.
$100.
All right. Next one is the LOL Surprise Hair Bead Salon. With this salon playset, kids can create custom hairstyles using water fusible beads. It includes a doll, 100 water activated beads, hair ties, mirrors, and more, plus a full unboxing experience. Okay.
What? You get to open it?
You get to open it.
Get the cake and have it too.
You know what? I was going to say it's going to be like $2, but the fact that you can open the box, that kind of drives it up to like $6,000. So wait, do you use the salon stuff on yourself or just the dolls?
No, I think you can make hair for the dolls.
Okay, so you're making wigs.
It only comes with one doll though.
Yeah, because I'm sure you could buy dolls separately and then, yeah. So it looks like it's like a salon, pretty much like attachment for the dolls on this brand that you already have.
I'm going to guess like 40. And don't say 41, Drake.
I'm going to guess 41.
41.
Fuck.
Paul, what do you think?
Oh, like $80.
Drake is the closest. $44.99. He didn't go over.
My kid's going to love the LOL Surprise Hair Bead Salon.
Okay, I will start skipping some, but this one I cannot skip.
The race car?
The Lego Technic Ferrari FXXK. So this is a Lego brick-built version of the Ferrari FXXK. Builders can assemble the details, open the engine cover to view the V12 engine, and open the butterfly doors to see the interior.
Ooh,
no
damn.
Batteries needed for this one. Ages 10+, manufacturer, the Lego Group. What do y'all think?
Drake, you go first.
Let's go 50 bones.
50 bones?
51 bones.
51 bones, Paul?
$52.
Fuck.
Paul won. $64.99. And Paul gets the... You know...
I hate it here.
As a kid, I didn't see it a lot as a kid, but growing up, I've seen like a lot of like younger relatives have those like electric cars they can ride around, and they're always branded like Jeeps or Cadillacs.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
as a kid, I never saw like actual name brand cars do that, like at Toys R Us. I don't... Or maybe my family just didn't get them to me.
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I think like the closest thing I had to like an electronic car was like that classic like red one with like the big yellow roof, and you had to push with your feet.
Oh yeah, Flintstone style.
Flintstone style one. Like, yeah, but
I think I can't remember what exactly it was, but Mark's little sister Samantha had something motorized that was really fun to ride, and I definitely took that thing out on my own.
Oh yeah.
Like I'd go over to Mark's house, and if we were bored, I'd be like, "Hey, can I just go ride Samantha's scooter thing or whatever?" And it was really fun.
All right, the Miss Rachel Spin-Along Learning Wheel.
We're gonna let the anti-Semitism on this podcast.
Where is that one? I don't want to accidentally say the price. Right, just one?
MSRP.
Okay.
Toddlers can turn the wheel to practice mouth movements. What? Hold up. Hey, yo! Miss Rachel! Okay, toddlers can turn the wheel to practice mouth movements and color recognition, discover animals and their sounds, and more. The toy features three play models and interactive prompts guided by Miss Rachel's voice. Okay, so they got the real Miss Rachel to do the voice on this. Ages 1+. So I guess it's kind of like a chore wheel in a way, but instead of chores, you just learn stuff. What would y'all?
What about it reminds you of a chore wheel, other than it's a wheel?
That is what it reminded me
of.
It's the wheel part.
It feels like it's like a car's wheels. You know what I'm saying?
It's
what is this, a
like,
play on the wheels on the bus?
It's kind of like the two shapes that make a Venn diagram.
What if you separated them?
If you separated them, though, and you only needed one of them. You can spin it.
This feels
I'm sorry
like,
for saying what it reminds me of.
I'm going to guess this one's $32.
Didn't you say you saw the MSRP?
$15 to me, $20.
I'm going to say it's $32.99.
How many bows? Paul, Drake is spot on $32.99.
I'm starting to think you guys might not be playing fair.
Let's don't guess the Nintendo Switch one. That's boring.
That's how much you guys spent on me? That's crazy. That's crazy.
We
no,
love
we stole
you.
That shit.
I just had to finish one PhD.
We love you.
We love you.
Okay, let's see this one. Oh, this looks fun. The Simmer and Stir Stovetop Playset with Water Wow.
Wait,
color reveal.
Where is that?
The Pyrex to the break.
So if you scroll down a little bit, it's to the left of a Spider-Man.
Okay, I just didn't want to see the MSRP.
Oh, they have the prices on the actual thing. Well, I didn't see the prices were on the homepage.
I'm being real careful.
Wait, the Pokemon cards are $50. Damn.
Okay.
Why does it say this stovetop uses water-based color change technology? Is it dye or light? There's like two ways you can change the color of water.
Color change technology, man. So think about that when y'all guess the price, because this has the color change technology to cook, play food. It includes a stovetop, water tools, a pot, and the pot kind of reminds me of a chore wheel with its shape. Veggies, protein, sauce cards, and an activity card. How much do y'all think this personal little new-aged easy-bake oven stove edition
I'm
cost?
I'm gonna eat stovetop till I break.
I'll take the MSRP, don't go over. Have any bones, kids?
The picture doesn't really do it much justice. I don't really understand what's going on, but it looks kind of cool. It doesn't look that big, though. I'm assuming it's like $40.
I was going to say 40 bones as well.
40 bones.
So y'all both
I'm
going to
say $1.
Paul was right. He didn't go over.
This is so fucked up.
It's 31
bones. That's a lot of bones.
That's so many bones.
That's less bones than I was thinking.
It's still a lot of bones.
I'm going to the last picture on this article. It is the Tamagotchi Paradise. So, we've had Tamagotchis as a kid. We should be kind of familiar with how much
they
cost.
I feel like those a little bit before our time, but yeah.
With more than 50,000... Oh yeah, I forgot you were held back. With more than 50,000 possible characters to nurture, kids can use the zoom lens to explore their characters on a cellular level, then zoom out to explore the planet. Dock two together and play with a friend. Okay.
How much is a microscope, Adrian?
It's about $350.
$350. All right. I need the MSRP member age 6+. Batteries, you're going to need 2 AAAs for this one.
Ooh.
The manufacturer, Bandai Namco Toys and Collectibles.
What? Why did you do an accent?
It says doing an accent.
Oh, okay.
So, sorry for listening to the article. Anyway, for the how much y'all think this shit costs?
How much is a Tamagotchi? I guess I'm going to guess 25.
I'm guessing 15.
25 bones.
So Drake says 15 bones. Adrian, why are y'all saying bones?
I bought a Tamagotchi like 3 years ago and it was like 50. And it was like just a stupid throwback one.
What
so
the
this
fuck?
Has to be more than that.
Okay. So
you guess the
he
guess
gets
player.
Slumdog Millionaire this?
50.
You know, I'll let y'all redo y'all's guesses. Paul, what do you say? 50?
50, sure.
Oh, then 51. Nope, wait, Drake, you go next.
I am not taking Paul's Slumdog Millionaire information into account.
Still.
15.
15?
25 bones.
25? Adrian's closest without going over.
Hell yeah.
It's $44.99.
What the fuck?
All right, y'all want to do our...
Big fact, no cap, get out of here.
Big fact, no cap, yeah.
Yeah.
My no cap is don't get into comedy. If you want to try it,
it's
try
fool.
It in college. Don't try it after college, and don't try to make friends with everybody in comedy. Most of them are weird.
Most of them are going to get canceled. Drake?
Oh, I thought there was only two. A big fact and a no cap.
Choose your side.
Oh, okay.
I chose no cap.
All right.
Big fact daughter, no cap to son.
Two healthy children.
My big fact is Maxwell's.
They make the windy,
windy,
windy.
Maxwell's over gyms. That's my big fact.
Oh, hell yeah,
Maxwell's
brother.
Over gyms.
Maxwell's
right,
over
that,
gyms. Blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
If I see you with Maxwell's with a gym shirt on, it's on site.
My big fact is Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, y'all. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. You love it. Why did that one get filled?
Love it.
Oh, man. Let's do this every week.
All right, I guess we'll stop recording now.
All right.